I am officially declaring a national emergency.
Unprecedented times call for unprecedented actions.
Starting tomorrow, NBA play is suspended.
NCAA has canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Welcome to Managing the Crisis, brought to you by Core Image Studio.
The number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits has hit a record high.
There are fears that the Dow will drop and drop quickly.
The media giants are under pressure from a dramatic pullback in ad spending.
Now here's your host, the president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett.
Thanks for dropping by for the fourth installment of the Managing the Crisis podcast. I am Jason Barrett. If you haven't had a chance yet to listen to any of the prior three conversations with Jeff Smullyan, Chad Millman, and Steve Shanks, I encourage you guys to check it out. I think you'll find useful information in all three episodes. One thing we both know, you have more time than usual these days, so hopefully you're taking advantage of it. For this episode, though, I want to shift gears and look at the world we're in through the lens of a program director. To do that, I'm heading out west to my old stomping grounds in the Bay Area where Matt Nahigian is based. He oversees day-to-day operations of my old radio station, 95.7 The Game. I've known Matt for a long time. Great guy, sharp programmer, good sense of humor. I've joked with him in the past that he always takes my leftovers. I got hired in Philadelphia in 2006 to program Sports Talk 950. That then evolved a few years later to 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg Henson took the reins after I left, but then in came Nahigian about a year or two after him. And then when I exited the Bay Area to head home to New York, Don Collins stepped in at first. 2 years later, in swoops Nahigian. So the way I see it, if I ever stop running Barrett Sports Media, if you want a good bet to put your money on, count on Nahigian 2 years after me being the guy to step into the picture. That's just the way it seems to go in the world that we're in. But all kidding aside, programming a sports station right now is as challenging as ever. You still know you're going to roll out a talented lineup and the personalities are going to connect with an audience, but what you don't have is fresh and important content to work with on a daily basis. You don't have games to react to and engage with fans over. You have staffs working remotely, which can impact communication and enthusiasm. Sales are under attack and trying hard to retain business, which means as the programmer, you have to loosen the reins to keep business functioning. You also have a serious issue in the coronavirus, which has affected every aspect of day-to-day life, and you have to determine how much time to spend talking about it and whether that strengthens or weakens the bond with the station's fans and clients. The other difficulty is seeing your content through the eyes of the audience. The last time I checked, nobody's done a deep sports radio audience study on the behavior and listening habits of sports radio listeners during a global crisis. Do they really want to hear a sports radio talk show talk about subjects with less appeal? Are they listening at the same time if their day-to-day routine has been completely altered? Do they want to hear a dose of reality about the world we're living in? Furthermore, do they even care about sports at this point? And a radio station that talks about it, considering that the realities they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis are much more important to their lives. For more on that, I want to welcome in the program director of 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. He is Matt Nahigian. Matt, let's start with this. Are you programming these days from home, or are you the one guy still going into the office?
Programming from home, my man.
If you're home, and I know your world a little bit, you've got two boys who are diehard sports fans. You've got a wife who works in the radio industry. That means discussions about the media business and the sports world are full throttle all the time. The two things, of course, most relevant to your professional life. How do you disconnect from any of that?
Well, when you've got your 11-year-old watching the Steph Curry OKC bang bang play 715 times in the background, it's very difficult. He literally, I mean, we watched every Warriors championship game that you can literally think about. No, but I try to keep them on a schedule like everybody else. You know, we get assignments from the school, and my wife's in radio as well. She's doing a morning show. She was going in every day, and get the cereal, get Lucky Charms going, and then get them on the schedule and tell them to be quiet for the next 10 hours. And I mean, do their work. And it's been really difficult, but I'm not complaining. There's millions of people that are in a worse situation, but I do feel really bad for people who are trying to work from home and have kids that are trying, you know, they're trying to school as well. It's almost impossible.
Oh yeah. And listen, man, they see dad around. They want to have some time with dad because, wow, now we all get to hang out and, you know, dad still has to run a radio station and operate a business, you know, along those lines. That also changes day-to-day communication with the staff because you're working remotely, they're working remotely. You've got a three-person morning show that's doing a show, three-person afternoon show, three-person midday show. Those are a lot of conversations to have. How do you keep your day-to-day communication strong with your staff when you guys aren't seeing each other?
It's a great question. We're still doing quick conference calls with the producers before shows. It's actually funny you asked that. Yesterday, I have my one-on-one in person normally with my afternoon host, Damon Bruce. He actually called me and said, hey, this is our weekly time to do our get-together. We're doing it over the phone, right? And I'm like, you know what? That's pretty cool that he actually instigated the phone call.
Right.
So I'm checking in with them, you know, on a personal basis once a week. I do a producer conference call on Sunday afternoon just to say, hey, here's the update from corporate and from management on what's going on. And I'm in constant communication with the producers. But I talked to my afternoon show yesterday and just gave them a couple points that I thought they could use for the rest of the week. And I've told all my staff, check your email nonstop, because that's the easiest way for me to communicate to everybody. So I don't have to text this person, text that person. But it's challenging, but it hasn't been as bad as I thought it is.
I think right now, given where we are in the country, everybody just knows like, hey, we're going to be inconvenienced for a while and you've got to adjust. So if the worst thing in the world is you got to check your email more, you'll make do of it. I want to get into a bunch of content stuff with you and talk about some business stuff. But I want to start by going backwards. Let's go back to when the sports world went dark. You know, the NBA shuts down after Rudy Gobert tests positive. You know, the tournament gets canceled. The XFL cancels. The NHL season goes away. What was that like out in the Bay Area when all of this went dark?
I have a pretty interesting kind of story about all of that. I call Wednesday, the 11th of March, Gobert Day. I was at my kid's baseball game, and I get a text saying Rudy Gobert just tested positive. And I looked at the guy next to me, and I said, this is not good. So I walked away from the game, which I've never done in my life, and called my engineer and said, I want everybody out of the studio. When can you make it happen? And he said, I'm on it. And by Friday, March 13th, we had all three shows out of the studio. So you're looking at nine different people on a, you know, from their houses, and we had it all situated. I didn't panic, but I just thought, all right, this is not good. As few amount of people I can have not come in, that's what we're going to do. So that was the day. Friday the 13th was the day that I just had producers coming in, and I came in as well, but we were kind of like, this is not going to be good. And I wanted to get ahead of it. I'm not saying I'm wrong or right, but that was just my way of dealing with it.
No, listen, you know, better to be safe and jump out in front of this thing. You could always be seen as the guy who overreacted, and that's okay. You're looking out for people's well-being, which is first and foremost what is going to have them wanting to go to bat for you and do great work for you, because they know that you've got their back when there are serious things going on. Obviously, since that time, it's been even more chaotic because this thing has persisted. Here we are 5 weeks later, and it's still, you know, front and center in everything we do. From a content standpoint, you mentioned how you're having meetings by phone and you interact with the talent by email. How has that forced you to adjust in this short term? Because, you know, you take it for granted. You know sports is there to talk about. Well, sports isn't there to talk about right now. It's great when Tom Brady signs, but when Tom Brady doesn't sign and you don't have news that day to work with, and you're talking about a story that would have probably been an update mention, it's drastically different. You still got to create content. So are you being more lenient? Are you sticking to the playbook of what you've consistently done that was already working? How are you going about approaching the airwaves, I guess, on a week-to-week basis right now?
Several different thoughts. First and foremost, I programmed the station right now saying to these guys, talk about what people are thinking and talking about. And right now, they're not talking about sports. They're talking about how to deal with their kids. Just like you led this podcast off with what?
And I was talking to you about your family.
Exactly. So my point to them is, I that's what people want to hear right now. Do they care about the NFL draft? As it gets closer, I'm sure there'll be more. But right now, when you go on the air, it's tell people what you're doing. They want to know. They want comfort. They want to know. And, you know, Jason, I'll take a step back for a second. The sign of a great radio station, sports talk radio station, is when nothing's going on and you sound great and the audience is you know, as high as it can go, that's what it's all about. If you're programming the station on what happened the night before, you're going to lose that battle because inevitably your teams are going to do what the Warriors did. We were riding high when the Warriors were winning championships, right, and now they became the worst. So if you're going to play that game, you'll end up losing at some point. So I've had that conversation with my guys for the last, you know, however long. And I think that, you know, it's so funny. Everyone, you know, I've had a lot of people call me and say, boy, you must be in so much trouble with no sports. And, dude, I'm as honest as it gets. When something's not going right, I'll be the first one to say it. I've said from the start, I disagree. I cannot wait to hear what my guys do and how they react to this. Because these shows that I have on the air right now, their number one strength, all three of them, is conversation. Especially my midday guys. They just have a bond. And they just have a really good just conversation about life things. And they've taken full advantage of that. I had a call of my morning show a couple of days ago. And I said, they asked me, what do you think? And I said, guys, I can't tell if sports are going on or not. That's how good you guys are doing right now. That's how well I think all of you are performing. I'm just entertained by what you're doing. And that's our job right now, is to entertain, put a smile on people's faces. And I'll be honest, I don't think you get smiles on people's faces right now digging into what something that happened in sports. Doesn't mean you can't mention it, but I think real life stuff, showing people the human side of you, if they're fans of you and the show, they want to know how you're handling things as well. Let me tell you one other thing I'm pretty passionate about is local businesses. And we had an incredible thing. We put out a tweet saying, if you're a local business, DM us so we can let people know you're open. These weren't clients. This was any local business. We were giving that opportunity. So Joe Fortenbaugh, my morning show host, mentioned one of those businesses the next day. And a woman DM'd us saying, I don't really know much about you guys. My son-in-law does, though. And he sent the DM to you guys. The first three people at our deli this morning mentioned they heard it on 95.7 The Game. I cannot thank you enough. And I literally get the chills just thinking about that, because right now that is more important than anything you can ever imagine. I mean, it really is. And that's what we're here for. It really is.
I got to tell you, just hearing you answer it, that question that way just brought a smile to my face, because look, everybody's got different philosophies on how to program a sports station. You got some guys who believe stick to sports no matter what. You've got others who can't wait to get away from it. And all I talk about my whole life is radio. If I'm not talking about radio, it's sports or it's something with my family. But right now, I'm 46. I'm going, okay, how's this going to affect the media industry? What if this gets worse? Can I pay rent? When can I go back out in public without being in danger of going out? That's just where people are mentally right now. And if you're not having those kind of conversations and tapping into what's real life right now, you know, I watched Get Up last week and I liked that show, but I'm watching Rex Ryan call Amari Cooper a turd and I'm going, normally in football season, I'd be all about this. I'm going, why does this even matter right now? And it's just hard because I can't fault those guys for doing what they normally would do. It is good content. It is a good opinion. It generated some reaction, but I'm going, I just think right now, even the sports fan who loves sports, I mean, you love it, I love it. We've dedicated the past 2.5 decades to this stuff, but right now, there are way more important things, and if there are no sports taking place, you realize why that's happening. It's because there's a lot more important things that could potentially impact your family, and at the end of the day, the family comes before the job and before sports. It's always going to be the case.
No question. One more quick story about it. It's really interesting because I think the hottest topic, but the most controversial topic through this whole thing has been, when do we go back to normal? And if we don't go back to normal in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, we are risking every business being closed. And should we risk lives to get back to normal? And you'll hear a lot of people get pissed off and say, I can't even believe you're asking that. You can't risk lives. Well, my morning show host, Joe Fortenbaugh, last week threw the question out to people. And I loved every second of it. Is it controversial? Yes. Could it make people squirm a little bit? Yes. Is it sports? No. It's what everyone was talking about. And he just put it out there to people. Call up and people, you know, gave their opinions on things. No one's right or wrong, but that's as captivating as any topic you can think of. Would you rather hear that last week or, I mean, who the 49ers are going to draft? I'm sorry, but it's just not what people are thinking about.
You know what's interesting about that? I've been one of these guys that when people talk about the stick to sports label and they get pissed off about, you know, talent going outside that comfort zone, like, hey, you're a sports host, talk about sports. And there's mixed reactions, of course, on it. And I usually lean in the direction of, hey, look, sports is why people came to the Dial. If you have sports content to talk about sports and don't get into all this other crap. I didn't come on to listen to you tell me why you love Trump or hate Trump. But right now, there is no sports world. There is no sports content. This is everyday life. And this is one of those times where the lines are much more blurred than ever. And I do think you have to be outside of the sports world. That doesn't mean when sports comes back 3 months in, you should be weighing in on the election and telling me why the country is screwed or not, because I'm going, hold on. There were 3 games last night. There's a lot of news and people want a break from all that stuff. Right now, there is no break from all that stuff because everybody is glued to this going, my life is impacted by it. So give me some hope. Give me a laugh. Tell me what I need to know that's going to make my life better. Like in your market, you know, normally you wouldn't say if I could get Governor Gavin Newsom on for 30 minutes, I would put him on over Steph Curry. Normally you'd go the other route. Right now you could easily make that case that people would want to hear the governor on a sports station because they don't always hear it. And obviously a lot of your guys are plugged in on what's going on around the state right now.
Talk to my producers about who I've been trying to get on for not only Newsom, but Fauci 2 weeks ago when he first started, you know, 3 weeks ago appearing every day. I looked up, you know, found his number and emailed, called. And so to your point, like, no, I'm talking about getting people on that. And let me give you another example. This is sports, but it's not really. Today is Hank Aaron, the anniversary of Hank Aaron's home run. I found the guy that ran on the field. I'm getting that guy on this afternoon. Don't you think that is 10 times more captivating than hearing about if the Giants are going to play baseball coming up or what happened in spring training or whatever? I mean, when you hear that, to me, that's a hell of a lot more. Oh, wow. I got to listen to that.
You could go on the air every single day talking about when the Giants come back, when the Niners come back. That's easy. You could do that all day, but that's not necessarily going to keep people listening. Along those lines, I want to get your thoughts on this because I know a lot of stations right now are in this weird spot where you're trying to fill time because, look, you got a lot of talent all over the place. You're trying to keep play-by-play advertisers still doing business with you. You see a lot of stations locally, nationally, airing older games. You guys did the joint venture with 97.3 The Fan in San Diego, the virtual baseball game. Is that content attractive enough to keep people listening beyond a couple weeks?
No. I think visualizing these games is different in just in that respect than hearing them on. One of the problems you have is in any game, you know the result in, you lose a little bit, obviously, there. The other part of it is, if you have a, let's say I'm rerunning a Warriors basketball game, and we did do that, and we'll do it here and there, but the first quarter is almost meaningless. You know what I mean?
Right.
So with the second quarter. So in that part, you really lose out, because it's like, now I really know I don't have to wait until, you know, the fourth quarter for things to happen. So I don't view that, the play-by-play part of it, as something that can really withstand for the next two, three, four. I think it's nice here and there, but I don't see it as something that we're going to do, honestly, going forward.
You have at least one advantage there, that I think when you bring back Warriors NBA title games, that's only 2 to 3 years ago. There's a certain joy that excites people, because those are good times and they've went through a bad season. But what if you're, you know, I'm a Knicks fan. Forget it. There is no audio of anything good with the Knicks. Like, you think I want to listen to ESPN New York tell me, like, oh, you want to hear Patrick Ewing's final game? No, I don't. It was actually a really bad memory for me. So what are you going to give me? Carmelo Anthony went for 50 points one night? There's no audio I care to hear for the last three decades.
I will say this, though. One thought that I'm having is, Klay Thompson scored 37 points in a quarter. You can't play that whole game, because who cares about the other parts? But I could take a half hour and play that full quarter at some point here and there. I could play fourth quarters of comebacks where they, you know, going crazy. To me, you got to isolate those situations, play them in blocks, promote it hard on the show, saying, at 5 o'clock, we're replaying the second quarter where Klay went crazy. That could work.
No doubt. You know what also could work is, you guys have a good relationship with the Warriors. They give you an hour with Klay Thompson where he's going to literally talk about nothing other than that night. And now that becomes a podcast that gets rebroadcast on the air. And it's ultimately going through the audio of what that was like. And he's talking about the 37 points. And then it becomes interesting. And you could do that for a night or two and get by. And people probably look forward to it. The hard part is, you know, if this thing persists for the next 4 or 5 months, I don't know that we could constantly do that. And that's where, you know, ultimately, that's why you have talent on the air. You got to let them venture a little bit. Some of it's going to be great. Some of it won't be. But what's the alternative? You got to put content on.
I'll tell you this. Relationships with sales people and the VP of sales has never been better. I've talked to the VP of sales more in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks than I had in, I have a great relationship with her, but so I talked to her a lot. But my point is, like, it's really interesting now. All of a sudden, all these amazing content, you know, things that we're giving them to sell. And I said to my APD last night, I was like, man, we should have been probably doing this, you know, way before. We give them a lot, but I mean, we are literally coming up with something every day to try to sell and bring some money in. And, you know, maybe that should have been the way we looked at it before, you know?
With the way the advertising climate is right now, you can't give enough ideas, because people are fighting tooth and nail just to stay afloat. And obviously, that's a big reason why, I mean, you experienced it. You know, Entercom went through layoffs, Beasley, Town Square, a lot of companies are going through it, because if you are running a business and you lose 50 to 60% of your income, you've got to do it from somewhere. I'm sure that had to not be easy when you've got to talk to some of your guys about, hey, we're going to have to reduce pay for a little bit. I know there was one guy with KCBS who had to be laid off. Like, those situations, they suck. No PD or GM or sales manager wants to deal with that. Imagine being the sales manager right now and your sales rep is, first of all, trying to work remotely, which is already hard enough. But then when they are working remotely, every time they answer the phone, it's a cancellation. This is, unfortunately, what we're dealing with. I mean, from your standpoint, when you're having to have some of those conversations with guys and deal with some of these things, what is it like in your world? How do you navigate that?
I'm not afraid to say this. My wife says I'm a little cocky, and I say, actually, I'm not cocky at all. I'm just confident. And I think that's a big difference. And what I'm going to say is that I preface all my conversations with, I don't know what my situation is. Guys, we're all in the same boat. Every time I get on a call with producers, hosts, whatever it is, I say, all we can do every day is put our head down. You know, Jason, I don't believe, and everyone at PD has their little pet peeves, I've never believed in putting clients on the air. I just don't think it's good to do that for a lot of reasons. I'm very sales friendly, but I just never have believed in that. By the end of the week, we'll have had our 10th client on the air doing an interview with our host. The reason I'm bringing it up is I am doing whatever possible to save my job and to save all of their jobs. And that's the way I look at it. I put myself into the fire. So it's like, you know what, guys, I don't know what the situation is. Some people are like, nah, you shouldn't scare people. No, I'm a realist. Am I confident that we're going to come out of this and try to get back to some normalcy? I am. I work for a very strong company and the leadership group is outstanding, but I don't think any of us know what's going on and what's going to be the new norm, but it is really difficult. And when I go to bed at night, I just say, you know what? I feel horrible for not just people at my station, my company, but anybody that's been laid off, because here's the biggest issue. Being laid off is one thing. Where are you going to get a job?
Right.
Before it was, this sucks, but you know what? At least I can put my resume out. Who's hiring? Nobody. I mean, and that's the part that really.
Yeah, the only thing helping right now is thankfully the government has made unemployment pretty good. But at some point, here's the issue. You may get paid close to what you were making before right now based on unemployment being good. But when that expires and the world does return to normal, you're entering a marketplace to find a job while 1,500 other people are looking for work. You know, you could be talented, but so are 1,499 other people.
When you said that, kind of brought something to my mind. When I left Philadelphia after, you know, 11 years or whatever, 12 years, whatever it was, the day that I left, I got a call from one of the biggest radio executives, at least in my mind, in the country, and his exact word, and I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And I was like, I still to this day reach out to him and say, that was the most important phone call I got through the whole thing. But his exact words were, you're insanely talented. If I had anything, I would hire you. I don't. And the reason I bring it up is just exactly what you said. You can be as talented as you want, but if there aren't openings and a company isn't willing to fire somebody to hire you, you're sitting on the beach, man. That's the bottom line. It's a scary, scary time.
I don't know if you've seen this, but in Australia, commercial radio ratings were placed on hold due to the outbreak of COVID-19. When you look at the United States, most of your audience are not driving to and from work right now. And the longer this goes on, the more they're going to become glued to the news, or they're going to seek out news kind of content. So if you're a music station, if you're a sports station, which doesn't have sports right now, the behavior of listeners is completely opposite anything we've experienced. So when I saw Australia doing that, I said, you know, that kind of makes sense to me, especially right now. If you're a radio company and you're paying Nielsen for research, which is usually helpful, this time it's not. Nobody cares about your numbers. They're trying to decide whether or not to close the doors to their business. So from your standpoint, do you think right now, given that all of us are ratings creatures, we love to see the numbers, but should the numbers be put on hold in the States?
Ask me on Monday when my numbers come out for the month and I'll tell you.
I know you and you love your numbers, so that's why I had to ask.
No, it's a great question. And here's what I would say. There's no right or wrong answer to it. If you are KCBS, our news station here, one of the biggest news stations in the country, are you saying the numbers should be put on hold?
No.
If you are Alice, who has the biggest morning show in the market with Sarah and Vinny, who are killing it right now because they are the masters of embracing their audience, are you saying you want the numbers to be held?
Because of the talent level of the morning show would be different than, like, if you were at Coit, which has good numbers, which your wife is part of, when all of a sudden people aren't listening as much to radio just for the fact that they're not in the car as much. Like, news talk right now is going to thrive. Like, everybody is going to seek out that content. And so will personality shows that have been built and that are really established. Like, in New York, people are going to listen to Boomer and Geo because they've been doing it for so long and they know those guys are good in any situation.
Let me jump in, though, and tell you that there's a second part of this.
Yeah.
This system is based on consistency, pretty much.
Yep.
The people that have the meters and your P1s really dictate your numbers, and their everyday pattern is what we're based on. this is the most disruptive 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and now it will be 5-6 weeks that you can ever imagine that will never be like that again. So that's where I would say it doesn't make any sense to keep those numbers in there.
Yep.
It's totally skewed. And it's almost like you can say a little bit the same thing with Christmas music, but that's a reality though. People are going there and they're still going in their patterns. They're choosing that. People right now are choosing stations, but it's all based on a completely, you know, random time of listening because, and it's just, my point is this, it's never going to be like that again, hopefully. And it's not even close to the norm. So I do think it's a little unfair that we're going to be based on 6 weeks that is just completely just like upside down.
Well, yeah. And I mean, listen, if you had a meter and you listened to 4 hours a week of radio, you were considered a heavy user and people love you. But right now you're actually a 12-hour a day listener. So you go, wow, so this person went from listening 4 hours to 40 hours a week. No, not really. They just happen to be home all the time because they were forced to operate out of their house. And because they were home, they did all this listening to whether it's one or two, three normal, you know, stations. And now all of a sudden a fourth got added because they had time. Well, that's great. That fourth station, though, can't count on that, to your point, in 90 days if things return to normal. They wouldn't be listening there because they're not stuck in the house anymore.
Exactly. So it completely skews it. But let me say one more thing about it. This is not about pumping my chest about ratings, but here's the reality right now. It's looking like my numbers could be better year to year, March 2020, than March 2019. Now, that is something I will be very proud of to say, see, we are not a station that just goes off of what happens in sports. When people needed us the most, we were there for them more than we were there the year before. And, you know, quite frankly, our numbers were pretty good last year. So I'm pretty proud of the fact that people are coming to us right now. And I can show that this isn't a fluke. In sports talk radio, people needed us at that point. And so that's the only thing I'll use it for from a you know, a sales standpoint. I'm not going to go around pounding my chest about, look at me. That's not the time to do that. But I do think that, don't forget something. You can say that all you want. And I've had this conversation with my hosts, like, hey guys, I know you don't want to hear about ratings right now. And I get it, but here's the reality. If we just go on the air and just throw it out there and just mail it in, this is going to come back to bite all of us in the butt because it's all factored in still. So if we're going to be local, live and local every day, let's kick ass. Because like you said, it's staying in there and it's going to be, when you add up the year, guess what? March is going to be in there. And if you mailed it in March and April, it will come back and bite you. And you'll look back and say, damn, I wish, even though we had a lot going on, I wish we had done this or done that and not just said, hey, we're just on the air. What's going on?
A lot of guys who are going to listen to this podcast, programming stations around the country, are probably wondering, what should I be doing with my play-by-play partner right now? Should I be leaving them alone? Should I be tapping into them? What should they be seeking out of me? What's your advice for anyone programming a station right now on how they should be navigating their relationships with play-by-play partners while we're all on the sidelines?
As we are talking, the great Raymond Ritter, the PR guy for the Warriors, just sent me an email saying, Eric Paschal, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Steve Kerr tomorrow at 5:30. So to answer your question, I can't tell anybody what to do. I know this. I've had correspondence with him every day for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And it's all based on how can we keep you guys in the news and how can, you know, you help us. And that's what a partner's for. If you're not leaning on your partners at this time, I mean, he was one of the first calls to me saying, hey, what are we doing? How do you want to do things? And then we talked about replaying the games. And he said, you know, I want you to know Steve's coming on once a week still, Steve Kerr. And he's pushing that. So I think you're making a huge mistake if you don't reach out to them and say, hey, how can we help each other right now? Partnerships are the most important thing that you can have. It's always based on it, or it should be. Whatever's good for you is good for me and vice versa. And as much as you can, you know, tap into them and have them tap into you, I always say, Ray, how can I help you guys? And he does the same thing. I call them until they say, guys, we can't help you.
Since we're on the topic of sports, I want to wrap on this. Looking ahead, because we both know sports will return at some point. When it does, everyone will likely be excited. They'll appreciate it more. Once that initial thrill, though, of returning to action fades, then comes the scheduling nightmare. So in your world, you know, right now the NBA season hasn't ended. The NFL season is just around the corner. MLB is about to start play once we get back on a field. If you had your choice, would everything return all at once, or would it be better spaced out?
Boy, that's a great question. My initial thought would be spaced out. For sports talk radio and for us, in the end, the great stations will survive no matter if sports come back or not. But I will say it would be real nice to have something to look forward to in mid-May or early June, whether that's baseball or whatever. Now, they were talking about going to Arizona and playing. If that starts June 1st, or you told me that's going to be, you know, September and alongside the NFL, I would rather have it spaced out. But I will tell you this, when things hopefully get back to normal, if you're bitching and complaining about something, then you got something wrong with you, because, you know, having two play-by-play partners start at the same time will be difficult to navigate, will be a great problem to have, that's for sure.
No doubt, and that's where we are, my friend. I hope you're staying safe. I'm sure you're going nuts trying to program at home, because that's not you, but you're making the most of it, and hopefully we'll get out of this thing soon enough and get back to normalcy.
See you, pal. Thank you.